Okay, we'll turn to Acts 2, please. That was loud. We've started going through this book, and this is a fantastic book. It's exciting. There's a lot of passion and dedication that you can see in the lives of the people we read about. There's a lot of commands. There's a lot of pattern. There's a lot of really convicting stuff. And we're going to keep going through it, and we're going to keep building on where we've come. So we'll talk a little bit about last week and all. But something that I was really hit with as I come to this is that we always have to just really depend on the Lord to touch our hearts, and then we have to respond in obedience. So I wanted to take another couple of seconds to ask the Lord to guide and bless, but most of all to change us. And again, seems like Scripture would command that you humble yourself before God and open up your heart and allow Him to change us. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, we thank You for the power that it brings. We thank You for the power of the Gospel. Lord, we pray that this morning Your Spirit would show us so clearly new ways, not even new ways, but ways to obey You in the ways that we haven't. Lord, this isn't new. This isn't groundbreaking in the sense, but Lord, it's got to be true in our lives, and we've got to be dedicated to Your Word and to studying Your doctrine. And Lord, we would pray for help and strength and wisdom as we go forward. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to encourage you too, about half of this time is going to be some teaching from this passage, a lot of other passages, and about the other half is going to be discussion, meaning that we're going to have some small groups here this morning, and then we're going to come back together and we're going to have some discussion. So I really, really need to encourage you to be ready for that. Every believer is a part of this body and needs to be a contributor. So this morning we're going to teach each other. We're going to learn from each other. And there's going to be some powerful things I truly believe the Lord will bring out of it. Notice we have the title, The Apostles' Doctrine. I'm going to throw some terms at you. We've got exegesis, eisegesis, dispensationalism, hermeneutics, give me another one, Christology, apologetics, all these $5 terms that it's so easy to get really wrapped up in when you talk about doctrine. And we can go that route because Scripture is chock full of teaching and mysteries. You think of the hypostatic union. You think of all these wonderful concepts. And when we talk about doctrine, I was just wrestling for probably about the last month thinking, where are we going to go with this? How do you even start in a brief time to sum up the teaching of Scripture? And the conclusion I really came to is, to the chagrin of any of you theologians, we're going to leave the $5 words aside this morning. Not because they're unimportant, not because these concepts are not crucial, but because we've got to start with the basics. And I'm truly convinced that a Christian culture that we grow up in, that even our lives, we're just failing miserably in the area of dedicating ourselves to the Apostles' Doctrine. So we're going to push away the key terms. We're going to push away the theological lingo, and we're going to focus on a need for change. And we're going to focus on an action plan that'll bring us in more obedience to the Lord. Acts 2, if you haven't gotten it already, we're dealing with some radical Christians. We're dealing with men and women who were so touched and impacted by Christ's resurrection and His teaching and His work, that these people were going nuts for Him. It seems like they were willing to do anything. And in Acts 2, you see some powerful, powerful things. And then we get to Acts 2:42, and you see some more power. So let's start there. Now, for those of you who are joining us, we're excited you're here, and we encourage you to keep coming regularly, because we're going to start into now, really, a lot of ways, a description of what we do as a church. And why we do what we do. And the Apostles' Doctrine is one of the first that we're going to talk about. But let's take a look at Acts 2. We're going to read verse 42. Actually, we're going to start in 40 and go to the end of the chapter. and with many other words. Actually, would someone be willing to read this?
And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved.
Powerful things, and you as my family know that I love to come and take a passage and be able to teach new breakthrough ideas and get excited with you about them and look at things like we've never looked at them. But again, this morning, the reality is this isn't new stuff, but it's powerful stuff, and it's stuff that we've got to respond to. Take a look at verse 42. It talks about the apostles' doctrine. Where is the apostles' doctrine for us? It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God, and you can read through countless different accounts, but whether Old Testament or New Testament, you can see all these different concepts, these truths that God would teach. What is His way of teaching us these concepts? Through the Word of God. Through the Word of God. And that's, again, a kind of a clear cut, but it's important that we emphasize this, because we're not talking about something mysterious and out there. We're talking about something concrete that I would guess each of you has at least two of these somewhere in your house, probably more than that. But realize that this is a serious, serious, serious tool that God will use to teach you and to shape you. And when we're talking about the apostles' doctrine, our way of studying that doctrine is through this written word. You talked last week. I'm told that last week was a dynamic study. It was a dynamic study because we took a look at, I was at home with my sick girl, but you took a look at these men and women who were so radically different because of the Holy Spirit coming upon them. And you could see their lives, you could see the way they talked, you could see the way they acted was transformed by the Spirit. And the message, as I understand it, the challenge from last week was be a Spirit-filled believer. Allow the Holy Spirit to work through you and to make changes through you and to accomplish great things through you. But it was clear that the power of the Spirit is what is going to accomplish anything. Well, guess what? This message is not separated one bit for that, because guess what the tool for unlocking the Spirit's power in your life is? The Apostles' Doctrine. Take a look at Ephesians 5 with me, please. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. I want to draw a connection with Spirit-filled living to the Word of God, and then we're going to take a look at what we need to do as far as studying the Word of God. Not rocket science, but it's going to demand a change. Filled with the Spirit, you're going to see, is directly tied with being steadfast in doctrine. Take a look, Ephesians 5, verse 15. "See that you walk carefully," or circumspectly, "not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." Last week was the exciting and the motivational and the, hey, look at all that can be accomplished when the Spirit is living through us. This week is exactly how to allow that to happen. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. And being filled with the Spirit is tied directly to that. Look at right in between, you see, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. What does the verse before that talk about? Well, take a look at it. 17, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Where do we see the will of the Lord? Where do you learn about that? Where do you read about that? CP, where do you read about it? In the Word. In the Word. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Then it says, do not be drunk with wine, but in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And then what's the verse right after that talking about? How will being filled with the Spirit be shown? Well, one of the ways says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Where did those psalms and hymns and spiritual songs come from? Joel? Yeah. Okay, how do they get to your hearts? Where do you hear about them? Where do you read about them? Where do you see them first? The Word. The Word. Wanted to take a minute to show the real connection there. Do you want to be a Spirit-filled person? Then you've got to be in the Word. The Apostles' doctrine is so closely tied to that. How do you be filled with the Spirit? Well, one of the clear ways is that the Word of God will come out of you. That if you're filled with the Spirit, what are the words and the concepts and the thoughts that are going to be coming out of your mouth? But we just read about it. They're going to be God's Word. They're going to be the psalms, the hymns, the spiritual songs. They're going to be words of thanksgiving. But I want to show you another chance. Back to Acts 2. Back to Acts 2. And again, we're laying groundwork here for the Word of God being a powerful, powerful part of being filled with the Spirit. Acts 2. And we're not going to read all this, but if you remember the beginning of Acts, you see that the day of Pentecost came. There were tongues that God had used through men. And there was some question as to whether these things were legitimately from God or if they were just from other sources. And then you see in verse 14 that Peter stood up, raised his voice and said to them, and he goes on and he explains all kinds of powerful, powerful things. So much so that like we read in verse 40, and with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. A powerful work of the Spirit. But now look in between those two verses, and when you actually hear Peter talking, what is Peter saying? Well, my Bible is nicely segmented, and it looks like different columns. It looks like different writing even when Peter's quoting actual Scripture from the Word. And you notice, look at how much Scripture he quoted. Look at how much of the Word of God was a part of these powerful things that Peter was saying. We cannot pretend to be controlled and filled with the Spirit if the Word of God is not central to that. And we need to see that tie. Look at Colossians 3, verses 16 and 17. Being filled with the Spirit actually means to be controlled by the Spirit. You see that in Ephesians 5. It says, don't be controlled by wine, right? When you get drunk, you're not in control anymore. The wine controls you. Don't be controlled with the wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Be controlled by the Spirit. And let's look at Colossians chapter 3, because we're going to see more powerful truth about where that control comes from. Colossians 3, verse 16 and 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. That last verse, notice, if you're filled with the Spirit, if you're controlled with your Spirit, then everything you do will be done for God's glory. All of your works and your words and your thoughts will be done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But look, what comes right before that? Right before it again, it's no accident. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And again, you see those psalms and hymns, spiritual songs. You see that wisdom comes from the Word of Christ. Do you see the tie there? It's a powerful tie between being controlled and filled with the Spirit and the Word of God. And I bring that up because I think we need to understand this next concept. The Christian life, being filled with the Spirit, is about continuing in His Word. And this is that concept that has been so lost in our Christian culture. Let me ask you, it's, what do you call that, rhetorical. How much do you think the average Christian spends reading the Word of God each day? How much time? There's 24 hours in a day. How much of that 24 hours does the average Christian spend reading the Word of God? I would guess we would be shocked at how little that average would be. Someone read statistics once, and some Christians have said, oh, I haven't even picked up my Bible in years. The reality is that a change needs to take place. Because these early Christians were steadfastly continuing in the apostles' doctrine. They were the Energizer Bunny, in a sense. They kept going and going and going and going, dedicated to the Word of God. And the question is, are we as a body dedicated, steadfastly continuing in the God's Word? And I have to confess to you this morning that my life is not to the degree there. I'm not continuing in the Word like I need to be. I've got a dedicated time each day to study the Word, but for one, it's not a very big part of the day. I was thinking about how convicting it was last night. I was adding up how many hours I watch TV compared to how many hours a week I read the Word, and there's a big difference. Am I really continuing steadfastly in the Apostles' doctrine? Are you continuing steadfastly in the Word? It's not about all hours. It's not about logging a certain amount of time. It's about quality time too, isn't it? Well, you could look at my quality time and my devotions, and I can tell you, lots of times I'll be reading the Word, but my mind can be on a completely different concept. You ever find that? Suddenly it's like, what did I just read? Okay, I better go start over. The reality is that we need to be more steadfast. That Energizer Bunny is kind of a cool example. It keeps going and going and going. That's the way we've got to be with the Word of God. We've got to be dedicated to it. There's an urgency here. There's a priority. Because we were encouraged and we were challenged and we were enthused and we were motivated last week to hear about the potential of Spirit-filled living. But that opportunity will pass by if we don't realize the urgency and the priority of being dedicated to God's Word. Being in the Word is not the job of a pastor or an elder or only a certain aged individual. You don't wait until you're retired to really become a student of the Word. Each one of you as believers needs to be in the Word, and you have a privilege and a responsibility for that. We're going to talk now about what does that mean? What does that look like? Well, take a look at 1 Timothy, please. I was really excited for the last couple of weeks to study, not in real depth, but to read 1 and 2 Timothy. The reason I think is because I love things that are real, you know? I love when people are real. I hate and I slip into it myself, I hate the preacher's voice, you know, the formality that we slip into. I love it when you can just talk with someone and you know, hey, that's really what's on their heart. That's what's real. And as I was reading 1 and 2 Timothy, it's real, people. This is Paul talking to one of the closest friends he has. Not only that, but this is Paul talking about his son in the faith, Timothy. And as you read through it, you can hear passion and you can hear care and you can hear a great amount of concern that Paul has. But I was shocked as I read these passionate, thoughtful words understanding that these words in many ways are the last thoughts that Timothy would ever get from Paul, his spiritual father. But guess what dominated it? Talking about the Word of God. Talking about the urgency and the priority on reading and spending time in the Word of God. And I want you to keep your finger in 1 Timothy there, because we're going to come back to it. And we're going to get a flavor for that. And we're going to hear just a short amount of words that Paul says to Timothy. And you're going to just be able to listen and see, wow, what a huge part the doctrine, God's Word, plays in what he's passing on. The bottom line is that there's an urgency and a priority to give ourselves entirely to the words of God. Let's read in 1 Timothy again. Let it soak in here. Listen to how many different concepts Paul brings out that are related to doctrine or related to God's Word. Who's got a nice strong Mark? Do you mind reading a little bit for us? We're going to read 1 Timothy 1. It's about 20 verses, but listen closely. Don't tune out. This is the authority, by the way. If anything is said of the most important words you'll hear spoken, it's directly from the Word of God. So do not tune out. I used to throw things at my students, and I don't teach Chris anymore, but I'll still throw something at you, Chris. But he's with me here, so go ahead, Mark.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope, to Timothy, a true son of the faith. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, as I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, and you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies which cause disputes rather than godly, and show all long suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some, having rejected concerning the faith, have suffered to death, and of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I deliver to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme.
I hope you got a feel for it. Did you hear how many times he said doctrine? How many times he referred to how important it is to have the sound doctrine? Did you hear even how he was talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ? It's all here. This is where we read of it. Did you hear how he was talking about giving that charge to Timothy? Well, look and listen in verse chapter 4. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine, which you have carefully followed, but reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. He talks later, verse 12 in chapter 4, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Do you hear the passion? Do you hear the importance? Do you hear the urgency? It all comes back to the Word of God. And that give yourself entirely to them. A great quote from verse 15 of chapter 4 of 1 Timothy. All speaking about the Word of God. All speaking. There's an urgency. There's a priority. So what does it mean? How is that going to impact? I hope you've seen that there's an importance here and a priority and a urgency that we dig into this and spend significant time. But how do you do that? What does that look like? Well, first of all, obviously we need to be spending time reading this book. But it goes far beyond that. Again, it's not just about putting in a quota of 15 minutes where your eyes are following certain words. The real, real heart of this, in many ways, is through meditation on the Word. Thinking about what you've read. Thinking about what you've read. Stewing on it, in a sense. Pondering it. Not letting it out of your thoughts. Have you ever had a nagging thought that you just can't shake? This concept that you just keep thinking about and thinking about and thinking about. If I get really excited about an idea or a project, I'll catch myself wherever I'm at, in meetings or driving or wherever. It's just going through my head. I'm chewing on it. I'm thinking about it. Meditation on the Word, thinking on the Word is so key. Verse 15, hear it again of 1 Timothy. Meditate on these things. Give yourselves entirely to them that progress may be evident to all. Turn to Psalm 119, please. This is a great, great picture of the kind of meditation that we're talking about. And I hope you've already seen the importance of the Word. I hope you've already seen that we need to be in the Word. Now, these steps, let the Word of Christ join you richly, these are the steps that I really think we can do to be in the Word and to be benefiting from the Word. First of all, think on it. Verse Psalm 119, verse 9, you know this well. How can a young man keep his way pure? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Powerful words there. Did you hear it? It's not about reading it and leaving it. If we're going to be faithful to the sound doctrine, you've got to be meditating and thinking on the word. Do you know how to meditate? Well, my dear sister Anita would say that if you've ever struggled with worrying about something, then you know how to meditate. Right? I love that. It's so true. You meditate on problems all the time. How am I going to get it all done? Okay, let's see. I've got to do this for... How are we possibly going to come up with that money? Okay, let's see. And you stew on it. You think on it. You concentrate on it. We know how to meditate. We just need to focus our direction on meditating on the Word. Thinking about what we're reading. That cannot be done haphazardly. That cannot be done with a less than passionate response to the challenge of reading God's Word. Because if it's not important to you, you may put in 15 minutes, but you're not going to be thinking about it as you go. We've got to become men and women who think about what we're learning and soak it in. A big part of that, hiding God's Word in your heart, what's that all about?
Memory.
Oh, I hate memorizing to an extent. You know what I'm saying? It's hard work. Have you ever sat there? Chris has. He had Professor Elgard in Bible. They made him memorize tons of stuff. You ever sat there and tried to memorize? It's hard work. But you hide God's Word in your heart and it's there. No matter what the circumstance, no matter what the setting. We've got to be people, men and women, who meditate on the Word. And a part of that, we can't get away from it, a part of that is memorizing God's Word. Secondly, there's a powerful truth in Scripture about sharing God's Word. That if we're really going to handle this, if we're really going to continue steadfastly in it, that's going to result in us sharing the Word. Back to Ephesians 5 briefly. Look at that with me. Right after it says to be filled with the Spirit, one of the ways that being filled with the Spirit will be shown by speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. 1 Timothy, verse chapter 4, look at that. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth, and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. A huge part of continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine is talking about it with other people. We are bad at this, my friends. We are so much better at talking about the Vikings game or the Rams game or the Seahawks or the Eagles or work. What's the first question I ask? Well, what do you do for a living? It's so easy. But how often does our conversation turn to the Word of God? Boy, it's hard. It's difficult. But if we're going to continue steadfastly, then the conversations within this family and with other believers have to turn to the Word of God. You see that in Acts 2. You see that the Word of God was just such a central part of the conversation. There's another powerful, powerful way that the Word of God needs to be spoken, and that's through evangelism. The lost need to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ, but what's the best source of that? CP does this all the time. I love it. He quotes Scripture. Go to the horse's mouth. Go to the source. It's God's Word. And I really believe that there are hundreds of opportunities each week for you to share a verse or two with an unsaved person. Not by sitting them down and say, okay, now I need to share a verse with you. But by having it on your lips, by knowing it, by being ready with it. Again, when we memorize Scripture, it's amazing how relevant these verses are. When you're talking about being blessed, and you'll hear it, a lot of people say, oh, I was really lucky, or I was really blessed. Well, every good and faithful gift comes from above, right? You don't have to commentate on it. You don't have to emphasize it any more than bringing the Word of God out. And maybe someone will ask you a question about it. Or maybe it'll spark an opportunity. Well, what do you mean? What are you talking about? What do you mean by that? There's huge opportunity. So this sharing the Word needs to be a part of what we do with each other as the family of God, but also it's got to saturate our language with others around us. It's got to come out, bubble out of us. It's got to be so in us that it bubbles out. You've seen that commercial for Gatorade, Is It In You? You see all these people sweating orange and red and blue because it's so a part of them that it's coming out. That should be us with the Word. The question is it in you? Is the Word of God in you to the point where it's bubbling out at every opportunity? I commend my brother CP because many, many times it is bubbling out of him, and I'm challenged and encouraged. My grandfather's another one, and many of you I've heard share the Word. Let's do it. Let's share it with each other. Let's be dedicated to that. Finally, here's a hard one. Part of being steadfastly devoted to the apostles' doctrine is having affection for the Word of God. Yes, we're talking about an emotion here. Emotion is a part of us. Does it drive us? No, truth should drive us. But turn to Psalm 119 and you're going to see that David was a man of God's own heart who had a passion for God's Word. And he had affection for God's Word. And what I'm telling you seems impossible. But if we would really devote ourselves to the Word, I truly believe we will get to the point where we hunger for it. And where it becomes desirable to us. And a day without spending time in it is, I got to get to the Word. Even if it's for our peace of mind. And rest. And I think that emotions are abused and emphasized too much, yes, in our culture. But at the same time, there's a danger in not realizing the importance of the emotions too. And understand that if we truly desire to grow in the Lord, we've got to get to the point where we hunger for His Word. Listen to Psalm 119, verse 17. Deal bountifully with your servant that I might live and keep your Word. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. I'm a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. You rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies are also my delight and my counselors. My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. I have declared my ways, and you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts. So shall I meditate on your wonderful works. My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove from me the way of lying and grant me your law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me. I cling to your testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things, and revive me in your way. Establish your word to your servant, who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. Did you hear the passion there? Did you hear the emotion? That's possible for each of us. The Lord can give us a hunger, but it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to come from continued dependence. It's going to come from getting into the Word and making it a part of you and making it a part of what you do and making it so that you're so tied to it and so in it that if you go without, you miss it. And it's like not drinking water. It's not like getting up and not eating for a few hours. Oh, I'm hungry. We can be hungry for God's Word. We can be passionate about God's Word. And I'm convinced that if we dedicate ourselves to reading the Word and meditating on it and talking about it with others, that God will build a hunger in you for it. And it'll become delightful. It will become delightful. Grandpa's shared different concepts or different times where his heart has been delighted by the Word. I've had maybe a picture here and there of days or time periods or stretches of time where I'm really devoted to the Word and I can feel that excitement and hunger and passion about it. We don't cut our affections out. We're driven by truth, but include our affections and our emotions into that and allow the Lord. Listen to these verses. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies. Do you hear that prayer? David is asking God to incline his heart, to change his heart, to turn his heart. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things. Ask the Lord that. Ask the Lord to direct our affection and direct our focus on his word. Notice what he says as opposed to that. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. There are so many things that our affections are set on in this world that are stuff. You notice that? That is an affection for the word killer. Our hearts are not, we're not smart enough to have passion for many different things at the same time. And if I'm passionate about my 25-foot Bayliner, that'll take away from my passion for the things of the Lord. If I'm passionate about getting more and more and more, accomplishing more and more and more, then it's awfully hard to be passionate about things of the Lord. There's a real powerful message here. We've got to turn from materialism. We've got to turn from things of the world, pleasures of the world. And we've got to tell God and believe that, God, your way is better. Fill me up. Give me passion for you and in your word. Will he deny that? That's what he wants. He longs for you to say that to him and mean it. He longs for you to carry through and be faithful so that he can bless and make that happen in you. Continue steadfastly. We need a plan. We need a plan. I hope the prayer this morning is that you've seen the importance of the Word of God. I think there's a prayer too, like in my heart, that you've even seen how far short we've fallen in continuing steadfastly in God's Word. And I hope that we can develop together an action plan for change, for steering towards God, for meditating on His Word, sharing it with each other, and having a passion for it. So the next bit of time will be us helping each other, really in a practical, verbal way of getting to the bottom of this. How are we going to do this? What's going to happen? There's some questions for you. How does the Word need to enter our planners? I say that a little bit tongue-in-cheek because our daytimers and our Palm Pilots and our busy schedules dominate so much of our thoughts and conversation. The reality is we've got to figure out how the Word of God is going to bust into that schedule. How priorities will change, how times will change, how we will be dedicated to God's Word. And let me encourage you, when we break up into these groups, talk about not only ideas, but talk about failures too. Be vulnerable with each other and share, you know what? I really struggle. I was going great for this, but I struggled, and here's why. Help each other with it. Talk personally, but then talk corporately. How can we include the apostles' doctrine? How can we include the Word of God in everything we do as individuals and as a family? Two, how will you learn to meditate on it? This is not an easy thing. This is a habit. It's a practice. It's a discipline. The Lord will give us gain in it and growth in it, but we've got to dedicate ourselves to it. So talk practically about how you can become a God's Word meditator. Finally, how will we share the Word more diligently? Let's talk practically. Maybe there's some of you who are passionate about those big words of theology and are passionate about those deep concepts and love sitting around. Maybe there needs to be a theology club. Maybe you love to talk about other aspects of the Word, but let's be creative. Let's be consistent. Maybe there's a discussion activity that whenever you have, maybe you have people over with specific questions that you're going to talk about. Make them encouraging and fun. You think it through. The bottom line is live, eat, breathe, and here's the biggest, obey the Word. If we do those things, then that will equal that control by the Spirit. That will result in those powerful things that you heard about last week. That will result in the exciting life change that we're after. So I would encourage you now, I'd like you to break up into some small groups. I encourage JP, Dan, and Mark, and Joel, and my dad, if you could kind of spread throughout the room, and let's talk as a family in small groups, and then we're going to come together and talk as a large group about how we can accomplish these things. A couple of things in this. One, we're going to spread out, but two, designate a male spokesman so that when we can come through, you can share those, or come back together, you can share those ideas. So let's spread throughout and let's find a small group and discuss these and other concepts. Don't limit your discussion to this, but use this as a tool because we need action. We've got about 15 or so minutes here, so we'll take about, oh, say 10 of them together, 7 to 10, and then we'll come together for 5 or 10, okay? Hurry, hurry, don't waste time. Well, let's talk together for a few minutes. There's never enough time. I was bummed to even pull myself away because we're just getting rolling. But maybe if you could kind of share some of the thoughts that you guys had and teach each of us. I'll give you a minute or so to come together here. How does the Word need to enter our daily planners? Anyone willing to share some practical thoughts there? Grandpa laid one on us that's almost too practical because he said that a preacher had shared that if we would just dedicate ourselves to 10 minutes reading the Word, 10 minutes in prayer, and 10 minutes talking of the Word to someone else, and just we're just hardcore committed to that, no matter what time it is and whatnot, that great blessing and growth would come from that. So whether we wanted to or not, I think all of us have kind of taken, in our little group, took that challenge on. And it's a good one. Other ideas there?
Support one another, a support group where you don't lie to each other.
Yeah, CP brought over a list of questions that I've almost been thankful we haven't been able to start going through because they're hardcore. But yeah, he's going to be, I hope we're still going to be going through that and challenging each other. And that's the same kind of thing, isn't it? Yeah. Hardcore stuff there, but a good chance. How are we going to learn to meditate? Anybody have any good ideas?
JP had a good idea.
Wow.
That was my idea.
Good one, Benj. Well, there's a hard, you know, you won't catch me anymore without my cell phone. What if we got to the point where you wouldn't catch us without a small Bible and our notebook? That's a great idea. Other ideas like that? Other ones? That kind of tied in then in number three, how will we share the word more diligently? That was definitely an idea of sharing what's in your notebook with each other. Other thoughts there? You notice how uncomfortable it's getting because this stuff is just so right, but it's going to mean a change. It's going to mean work. That is just so true and so powerful. It just has to happen. Other ideas on that? What if we were, have you noticed that it's almost like you got to be careful with who you talk about the word with because you don't want them to think that you are pretending to be spiritual or you don't want them to think that you think you're spiritual. And well, what if we just abolished that rule right now and just all of us as a family understood that when Mark comes to me to talk about spiritual, yeah, he's a lot smarter than I am, but he's doing it because he truly loves me and he truly loves the word. And I don't have to be worried about that. And he doesn't have to be worried about it. I mean, Andrew, with all of his intellect, Sam was talking about this. You can go in, you can talk with certain people and just feel stupid because they're so smart. Not because they're doing anything. But yeah, what if we were able to realize that because we love each other, because we care about each other, don't worry about those inhibitions. Realize that when Andrew brings up something from the Word, it's because he loves me and he loves the Lord. You know what I'm saying? CP was going to say something on that. That's so true. And you notice that people have abused that and it just seems so cliche almost. When someone's hurting and you write a verse that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, you feel almost like an idiot because it's just, you know, but it's true. We need to do that, don't we? Let's get past that. Let's be faithful to each other in that. A dear brother told me that he just really wished that somebody would have done that with him. Just sat down and just sat there and been willing to share thoughts that came during a hard time. We got to do that for each other. That's a great idea. Well, a lot more we could say, but the reality is there's just so much that we need to do. So again, the challenge would be do not leave without purposing in your heart to change. Here's a little assignment for you. You're going to love this, but a little one. There's a couple of passages that we touched on. We touched on Psalm 119. We touched on 1st and 2nd Timothy. I would challenge you this week, a little bit each day. I know that many of you probably are doing some things, but a lot of us aren't doing much. So let's focus on some of those passages. And I would challenge you, the assignment would be to every day take a look at one of the two. You pick. Take a look at Psalm 119 or take a look at 1st or 2nd Timothy. And just try and write down a little something or remember a little something about what it's saying about the Word of God. And by Horace Mann. Oh, wait, sorry. No, you know what I'm saying, though? Do that each day. And let's use that as an opportunity to start with this. Baby steps, like Bob would be proud of. But 1st or 2nd Timothy or Psalm 119. And next week when you come together, you can ask me and I'll ask you how did it go this week taking a look at those. Because I think if we take a peek, if we dig into it, we're going to see huge, huge challenge about the Word and how much to be in it and how to deal with it and all that. So, thanks for your input. We got to do it now. Father, even now we quiet our hearts and we realize that the task is impossible without you. We realize that the change has to come in your strength and not ours. And so, Lord, we again come before you and confess that we fall short, confess that we're sinners. And Lord, we turn to beg you to change us and to work in us and to make us obedient. Father, it's exciting now to turn into a time that if anything should motivate us, it's remembering what your Son has done for us. Father, his words just ring in my head so often, and not when I want them to, but in a convicting way. And he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And Lord, I think a little bit about when Peter denied the Lord Jesus, and there was contact there with eyes, and there was such a cutting conviction that this one who's done so much for me, how many times do we let him down? And Lord, we pray that you would change us and motivate us and teach us to hunger and cling to your word. Lord, that we would be faithful to meditate on it and to share it with each other and to read it steadfastly. Lord, we thank you for our Lord Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. Lord, we turn to him now. We remember that he gave the ultimate gift, that he paid the ultimate price. Lord, we thank you for what he did on the cross. We thank you that his body was broken. We thank you that his blood was shed. Lord, in a simple way, but in a way that you've commanded us, we take this bread and we take this juice and we remember who he is and what he's done. We remember how much we've been given by such a wonderful Savior. We praise you, and in obedience to you now, we take these reminders to glorify you. In Jesus' name.